Ransomware Recovery Patterns on AWS. A technical review, ransomware remains the highest financial impact threat vector in enterprise environments, and AWS provides solid technical primitives to build real resilience. In this analysis, I examine the recovery patterns published by the AWS architecture blog through the lens of someone who has operated DR plans in regulated financial environments. The result is an honest view where these patterns deliver real value, where operational gaps exist, and what you need to add for them to hold under pressure. In 2024, the average cost of recovering from a ransomware attack exceeded US$2.73 million, and that's before accounting for regulatory fines, customer loss, and reputational damage. When the AWS architecture blog publishes ransomware recovery patterns, the technical signal deserves critical reading, not celebration. I have operated business continuity plans in regulated financial environments for over a decade, and the difference between a recovery pattern that works on paper and one that holds at 3 a.m. during an active incident is enormous. In this analysis, I go beyond what is published. I examine the technical controls available on AWS, the real trade-offs of each protection layer, the failure modes that rarely appear in official documentation, and what a senior engineering team needs to configure with service, quota, and IAM policy specificity for resilience to be genuine. What AWS ransomware recovery patterns actually are. The ransomware recovery patterns published by AWS are not a single product. They are a composition of technical primitives distributed across multiple services, which need to be orchestrated with clear architectural intent. The core of these patterns revolves around four capabilities: early detection, guard duty, security hub, cloud trail anomaly detection, blast radius isolation, sysegmentase, IAM permission boundaries, immutable backups. S3's object lock in warm compliance mode, AWS backup with vault lock and orchestrated recovery, step functions, systems manager automation, Route 583 ARC. What makes these patterns relevant for financial environments is the combination of preventive and recovery controls in a cohesive architecture. But there is a critical distinction that official documentation frequently softens. These patterns protect data stored on AWS, not necessarily the complete attack surface of a hybrid organization. If the entry vector is a compromised on-premises endpoint with valid AWS credentials, the effectiveness of the controls depends entirely on the quality of the IAM policies and permission boundaries configured, not the existence of the services. The reference architecture that emerges from AWS literature combines an isolated backup account, cross-account AWS backup with Vault Lock enabled, KMS managed encryption with separate account keys and response automation via EventBridge plus step functions. Each of these components has specific configurations that determine whether the pattern works or fails under real attack. Where the patterns truly shine: immutability and account isolation. The most robust technical control AWS offers against ransomware is the combination of S3 in compliance mode with AWS backup vault lock in a dedicated isolated AWS account. When configured correctly, these controls create a recovery window that not even the production account's root user can destroy, and that is what matters when administrator credentials are compromised. The specific configuration I recommend, S3's object lock with object lock mode, compliance and a minimum retention period of 35 days, covering the typical Cortain 21-day detection cycle plus margin. AWS backup vault lock should be configured with mini retention days. 7 max retention days 3C5 with the policy locked via Aulas backup put backup vault lock configuration. Once locked, not even AWS support can remove the vault. The backup account should be a member account in separate O with SCPs that deny backup, delete backup vault, backup delete recovery point and S trees, delete object for all principles, including the account root. Account isolation is the effectiveness multiplier here. A KMS CMK created in the backup account with a key policy that denies ASMS, schedule key deletion, and KSMS. Disable key for any principle outside a specific recovery role ensures that even if the production account is fully compromised, backups remain encrypted and inaccessible to the attacker. This is the pattern that survives a total credential compromise scenario, the most severe case an incident response team faces. Strengths of AWS ransomware recovery patterns. S3's object locking compliance mode creates legally auditable immutability. The object cannot be deleted even by AWS. Useful for LGPD, PCI DSS, and SOC DOS compliance. AWS backup with cross-account plus cross-region replication and vault lock provides a recovery plane that survives total production account compromise. GuardDuty has specific detectors for ransomware behaviors, S3 data exfiltration, S2 cryptocurrency mining, and IAM credential exfiltration, with detection latency typically under 5 minutes. Step functions for containment runbooks enables full auditability via X-Ray and CloudWatch. With deterministic execution and configurable retry, critical for regulatory postmortem. Root SyncT3's Application Recovery Controller, AR, with automated readiness checks, enables traffic failover in under 60 seconds to a clean recovery region. AWS Systems Manager automation with recovery documents versioned in code commit ensures the DR runbook is treated as code, testable, reviewable, and auditable, the real limits. What the patterns do not solve. There is a gap that no backup pattern resolves, the time between data exfiltration and detection. The average attacker dwell time in cloud environments before ransomware activation is 9 to 14 days. During this period, data can be silently exfiltrated via S3's pre-signed URLs by assuming roles with excessive permissions or through compromised EC2 instances with access to secrets in Secrets Manager. Backups preserve data. They do not undo exfiltration. Another critical limit is the scope of the shared responsibility model in compromised identity scenarios. If an attacker obtains access to an IAM role with assume role and backup, start restore job permissions, they can initiate a restore to an account they control. The defense here is not the backup itself. It is the combination of obvious source IP conditions in IAM policies, MFA enforcement via AWS, multi-factors present and session policies with CDs, source identity for traceability. These controls rarely appear in published patterns with the necessary specificity. The question of realistic RTO for stateful workloads also deserves attention. Restoring a 5 terabyte multi-AZ RDS cluster from a cross-account backup takes between 2 and 6 hours, depending on instance type and available network bandwidth. For a financial environment with a 4-hour RTO SLA, this means cross-account backup is not sufficient as the sole mechanism. You need a pre-warmed DR environment, warm standby, with continuous replication via DMS or a promotable RDS read replica, with cross-account backup as the last line of defense layer. Critical configuration pitfalls that invalidate protection. 3 mistakes I see repeatedly in financial environment audits. 1. S3s. Object lock enabled on the bucket, but objects created without XAMM's object lock mode header. Immutability is not automatically applied to existing objects or new objects without the explicit header. 2. IWS Backup Vault Lock, configured in governance mode instead of compliance. In governance mode, users with the backup. Delete backup vault lock configuration. Permission can remove the lock, which includes any attacker who compromises an admin role. 3 KMS keys in the backup account, with a key policy that allows KMS CNCF account root. This means the backup account's root user can delete the key, and if that account is compromised, backups become unrecoverable. Use the KMS via service conditions and explicit deny for KMS schedule key deletion in all backup key policies. Detection and response automation, the layer that determines RTO. Containment speed is the factor that most impacts RTO in an active ransomware attack. The detection and response architecture I recommend for financial environments combines 3 layers with distinct and complementary latencies. Layer 1, real-time detection, 5 minutes, guard duty with findings sent to EventBridge, filtering by detail, TOTITAP, including unauthorized access to trace, malicious IP caller, exfiltration, S-trace, DOS read, and impact, S-DOS, Bitcoin domain request, reputation. An event bridge rule with detail.severity 7.0 triggers a step functions execution immediately. The step functions executes 3 actions in parallel: on-demand snapshot of all EBS and RDS volumes via AWS backup, network isolation via security group modification to deny all, maintaining only outbound access to SSM endpoints, and notification to the response team via SNS with the finding ARN and affected account ID, PaleDUS. Forensic analysis, 5-30 minutes. A Lambda function invoked by step functions captures current state of the environment. List of IAM roles with active sessions via IAM. Generate credential report. Cloud trail events from the last 20 core filtered by ARGA. Null successful calls for the compromised account and an S3's bucket inventory with get bucket versioning to identify buckets without versioning enabled. This report is stored in an S3's bucket in the backup account with object lock enabled. Immutable forensic evidence loader trees orchestrated recovery 30-4. SSM automation with a custom AWS restore from backup document that includes readiness checks via root Finketrace ARC before redirecting traffic. The document verifies that the recovery environment has passed all configured health checks, database capacity, network connectivity, secrets availability before executing the failover. This avoids the worst scenario: failing over to a recovery environment that is also compromised or incomplete. How to adopt AWS ransomware recovery patterns. Phase 0, data inventory and classification. Week 1 DOS, use Amazon MSI for automated sensitive data discovery in S3s. Classify workloads by business criticality and define Tier 1, core banking, payments, RPO 15 min, RTO 4 horas. Tier 2 reporting, analytics, RPO 4, RTO 24 horas. Document the classification criteria in an ADR. This will guide all backup and DR decisions. Phase 1, account structure and isolation, week 2 squat. Create a security O in AWS organizations with a dedicated backup account and a log archive account. Apply SCPs that deny backup. Delete backup vault. Cloud trail, delete trail config, delete config rule and guard duty, delete detector across all member accounts. The backup account should be accessible only via specific roles with mandatory MFA DAOVAS, multi-factor auth present, true as a condition tariff phase DOS. Immutable backup configuration, week 3-5, configure AWS backup plans with cross-account and cross-region copy for all Tier 1 resources. Enable Vault Lock in compliance mode in the backup account. For S3s, configure Object Lock with default retention on the bucket and validate that all applications writing to the bucket include the XAMPP's Object Lock Mode compliance header. Create a KMS CMK in the backup account with a key policy that includes explicit deny for KMS, schedule key deletion, and KMS disable key. Phase 3s, detection and containment automation, week 5 Gal 8. Enable guard duty across all accounts with delegated administrator in the security account. Configure event bridge rules for findings with severity gi set in 0 triggering step functions. Implement the containment runbook as a step functions state machine with 3 parallel branches, snapshot, network isolation, and notification. Version the SCM recovery document in code commit and configure manual approval via step functions human task for the traffic failover step. Phase 4, continuous testing and validation, week 8 list quarterly, execute simulated ransomware, game days quarterly, compromise a test IAM role, activate the containment runbook, and measure actual RTO versus target RTO. Use AWS Fault Injection Simulator FIES to simulate database failures during recovery. Validate that backups are restorable, not just existent, by running monthly restore tests with data integrity verification. Publish results as CloudWatch metrics and include in the SRE dashboard resilience observability, measuring what matters. A ransomware recovery plan without resilience observability is a plan that fails silently. Most organizations monitor the existence of backups, which is necessary but insufficient. What needs to be monitored is recoverability in real time. I define 4 resilience SLOs that every financial environment should track as custom CloudWatch metrics. Backup completion rate target: 99.9% of backup jobs completing successfully in the last 24 hours. A silently failed job is an undetected RPO gap. Recovery point age target: no tier 1 resource with its most recent backup older than RPO target 1-5. Vault integrity score: daily verification via Lambda that validates Vault lock is in compliance mode and that the number of recovery points has not decreased. A decrease indicates an authorized deletion. And runbook execution latency, step functions containment execution time in game days, target 50 minutes for complete isolation. For detection observability, the most important signal I monitor is the time between a security event and the creation of the finding in guard duty, which should be under 5 minutes for high severity events. This can be validated with a synthetic canary, a Lambda that executes a deliberately suspicious API call, such as S3s. Get object from a test IP marked as malicious in guard duty custom threat intelligence and measures how long it takes for the finding to appear in Security Hub. If this time exceeds 10 minutes, the detection pipeline has a problem that needs to be investigated before a real incident, anti-patterns that invalidated ransomware resilience, backup in the same account as production. An attacker with access to the production account can delete backups before activating ransomware. 93% of attacks do exactly this. Vault lock in governance mode instead of compliances. Governance mode can be removed by a compromised administrator. Only compliance mode is truly immutable. DR runbooks only in Word documents or wikis. During an active incident, manual documentation is slow and error-prone. Runbooks need to be executable, tested code, testing only backup creation, not restoration. Untested for store backups have a 30-40% failure rate when needed in production, according to enterprise resilience studies. KMS keys shared between production and backup. If the key is compromised or deleted in the production account, Backups encrypted with the same key become inaccessible. Absence of readiness checks before failover. Executing failover to a recovery environment that has not passed health checks is the second worst scenario. You lose both the production and recovery environments. My curation note: what I would do differently. In financial environments where I have operated, the biggest gap was not technical. It was the absence of real game days with simulated administrator credential compromise. Most teams test the backup. Few test what happens when the attacker is already inside and has admin permissions. My practical recommendation, before any additional investment in tools, run a game day where you deliberately compromise an admin IAM role in a non-production account and measure how long it takes to detect, contain, and recover with the controls you have today. The result will reveal the real gaps more accurately than any audit. The hardest lesson I learned: a DR plan that has never been tested under real pressure is not a plan, it is a hypothesis. Verdict: solid patterns, implementation demands surgical rigor. The ransomware recovery patterns published by AWS represent a genuinely robust set of technical primitives when configured with the correct specificity. S3's object lock in compliance mode, AWS backup vault lock in an isolated account, containment automation via step functions, and resilience observability via CloudWatch form a defense-in-depth architecture that can survive total production credential compromise scenarios. This is significant and should not be underestimated, but the distance between enabling the services and having real resilience is where most organizations fail. Vault locking governance instead of compliance mode, shared KMS keys, backups not tested for restoration, and absence of game days with simulated compromise are the patterns that transform a theoretically solid architecture into a false sense of security.